texting fail? Have you ever been trying to text somebody something either autocorrect took over and you didn't realize it until you hit send? Or maybe you wondered what that LOL or TTYL at the end of a text message means? When I first started texting, this is going to make me sound really old. kind of just occurred to me. My students at Middlemont Christian School were texting, and I saw this LOL thing, and I was like, what is that? You know, and someone was texting to the other one. I thought it meant lots of love, but, you know, as you know, it means laugh out loud, right? Or it's sort of a jargon, right? It's sort of a shorthand. If you hop online and Google some of this stuff, you can write entire big long text messages just about these little short phrases that you have to be under 25 to understand. And so we use jargon in our lives, right? And I think that Christians use a lot of jargon. If we think about it, you know. And if you've been in the church for any length of time, all of a sudden these phrases will just, you know, roll off your tongue, right? Like, come to faith. What's that mean? Born again. Personal savior. Ask Jesus into my heart. It's kind of like Nicodemus. Born again. Enter my mother's womb. Jesus in my heart? What? You know? We have all these things. You know, how about when I, as a pastor, come to one of you and say, would you consider doing thus and so at the church? And you say, I'll pray about it, pastor. That really means I'm going to say no, but I want you to think I'm thinking about it. So we have this man named Nicodemus, and we hear the story about how he came to faith, to use some jargon, in Christ. And this is an example of some Christian jargon we probably ought to define. When we say someone has come to faith in Christ, we mean that they have arrived at a point in their lives where they are prepared to trust Christ with their life. So we hear today the story in the gospel about how Nicodemus came to trust Jesus with his life. So Nicodemus shows up at night, right? He comes sneaking in at night because he probably doesn't want his peers to see that he's coming to talk to Jesus. Nicodemus is supposed to be this learned man, and he's the one to talk to Jesus, who is kind of stirring up trouble and causing problems. So he kind of sneaks in and says, I'm going to check this Jesus guy out and see what he's doing. Like, it's kind of like coming in the back of the church and hoping no one will see you. You know? I just want to see what happens there. Will the walls fall down if I go there? But Nicodemus is asking this question, and it's really the question of how can I have faith? And that's what I want to talk with us a little bit about today, is how can we have faith? With the seed of faith, I believe, is this divine gift that's planted in our hearts. And through the Holy Spirit, and through the right conditions, and through it being watered, it can germinate. I was in Omshan this week trying to buy some parts for the evaporator. And more parts. And they had their seeds out already. I couldn't believe it. I wonder if they looked outside. But, you know, I was drawn to the little packets of Blue Hubbards because I love growing those. And I stopped myself from buying seeds in March. But you know that some seeds are able to lie dormant for 50 years or more? The longest recorded dormancy for a seed that I was able to find is 2,000 years. They figured this out with radiocarbon dating. And so it is with the seed of faith in our hearts. It can lie there for many years before the right conditions encourages it to germinate. Have any of you had the experience of praying for somebody for years and years and years and years and years and years and years that they would come to faith in Jesus Christ and find them one day they did? You know, sometimes I hear stories of a husband and wife where one has come to faith in Christ and one has not, and that one spouse has prayed faithfully for a whole lifetime, and finally it happens. So faith is something that grows and deepens over time, and the seed of our faith is our hunger for God and this holy longing that we have for Him. It's faith that is nurtured and strengthened by the Word of God from the Father. that we discover in Scripture the relationship with God through the Son and the daily experience that we have with Him through the Holy Spirit. So let's look at Nicodemus' journey to faith here. So Nicodemus, he was this middle-class guy who probably had everything. Education, status, money, power, right? I mean, realistically speaking, many of us have that living here in the States. We're told that he was a Pharisee, which means that he was very educated. He was also a member of the Sanhedrin, which means that he was a teacher and a lecturer in biblical studies. He knew what he was talking about. So he was a man who was very familiar with the Word of God. It wasn't something foreign to him. He knew his Bible well enough to recognize in Jesus the signs of someone special from God. And he even says, "We know you are a teacher who has come from God." So that knowing comes from this probably good understanding of the law of Moses and the words of the prophets. So we have step one completed for Nicodemus. He knew God's promises and he recognized them in Jesus. And so this knowledge drew him to visit Jesus, albeit at night. He wanted to meet Jesus face to face and have a conversation with him, and during which time he started to form a relationship with Jesus and began to get to know him. And so step two for Nicodemus was this product of the relationship that we have with God through Jesus. So Nicodemus and Jesus have this deep spiritual discussion that night, during which Jesus points to this matter of faith in God, and he says to Nicodemus, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." There's another piece of good Christian jargon, right? Born again. Probably some of us might internally roll our eyes when we hear that phrase. Oh no, born again. That probably brings to mind, you know, this sort of, fundamentalist, wild, off on one side. You know, and I'm using all kinds of offensive phrases right now. but when we hear the phrase born again, I've often heard people say, "Oh, they're one of those born againers," as if it's a bad thing. Jesus was a born-againer. I'm sorry. It may have been twisted a little bit here and there in our minds from our understanding from people that we've met, but Jesus is the one who said it. Not me. Not some of those people that maybe give us a bad taste in our mouth about that. But hearing that phrase made Nicodemus stop in his tracks. And you know the picture that flashed through his mind. Born again? What do you mean by born again, Jesus? Can a person enter their mother's womb once again and be born again? So what does it mean to be born again? Jesus goes on and says, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit." So Jesus identifies here two kinds of birth. There's physical birth and there's spiritual birth. Jesus calls this second birth born of the Spirit. And this is what happens with the physical birth. When a woman is pregnant, right, she carries the baby live in her womb. The baby is alive, but has its life limited, except for occasionally punching mom from the inside. The woman gives birth to her child. The child now has a whole new way of living, a whole new way of experiencing life. Freed from the womb, from its confines, from its darkness, it's come out into the light. And it has its first taste of freedom that holds all kinds of possibilities for its new form of life. And so Jesus uses this imagery of physical birth to help us understand the mystery of spiritual birth, the birth of faith. So we turn to Christ. We have a spiritual awakening and a rebirth. The Holy Spirit enters into our lives in a new way and gives birth to a new way of living, new perspectives on life, new way of dealing with life's difficulties. We are translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's Son, Jesus. We are born of the Spirit, or born again. So this brings us to step three. The seed of faith, after it germinates and is born and pops out, is nurtured through our experience of God, which comes to us through the Holy Spirit's power and presence in our lives. This new way of living is known as living by faith. Scary, right? Budgets by faith.
What?
Living by faith. I have faith my car is going to get me to work. This way of seeing the world and relating to God and experiencing God's power in our lives is what brings us into this life of walking as Christians. See, the faith in Christ is not a leap into the darkness of ignorance. I'm going to throw everything that I know out the window. It's stepping into the light of spiritual knowledge and truth and trusting God every day for everything, everywhere. Sounds nice to say. Putting it into practice is a lifetime of work and of habit and study. And the experience of God in our lives is difficult to pin down sometimes. We know that God is present. We feel His presence in our lives. It's a mystery which Jesus likens to the wind in the gospel today. No one knows where the wind comes or where it's going. We feel it. We experience its effect on our lives, but we don't see or touch it. It's spiritually discerned. Kind of like what I showed the younger folks today with the T-Rex trying. You know, we can't do those things with our short physical arms. We have to have the spiritual arms, the spiritual eyes that we are given. So what must we do for our faith to germinate and to grow and to develop? So first, like Nicodemus, we have to have a desire to come out of the darkness and into the light. Jesus says light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead. So we have a choice for faith in Christ to germinate and to grow. We have to choose to go to Christ. We have to choose to get to know Jesus. And we have to choose to allow Him into our hearts and into our lives. And then once we've done that and we're oriented in that direction, we have to nurture and deepen and grow our faith by studying the Word of God and Scripture, by building our relationship with Christ through prayer, and by paying attention to and trying to become more sensitive to recognize and surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit as we go about our daily lives. What Nicodemus came to understand that night when he snuck in and visited Jesus was that a whole new life was possible. One that brought him up close and personal with the God that created him, who redeemed him, and who would empower and encourage him in a new life that wouldn't just last physically, but for all of eternity. So we've got that famous sign that's held up at sporting events, right? John 3:16. Some of you almost can't watch a sporting event without seeing the camera pan in on one of those people. And perhaps that verse has become so well known to us that it's almost cliche to us, but here it is. Okay, heard in the gospel, we're going to hear it one more time. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. So we enter the kingdom of heaven through faith. We become followers of Christ through faith. Faith enables us to trust God with our lives, and in doing so, receive the gift of eternal life, which is being offered to us by God, who created us and sent His Son into the world, not to judge or condemn, but to save us for a life which lasts for all eternity. So how will we respond? Nicodemus chose, in spite of the danger and in spite of the risk for himself, to come out of the darkness and into the light of Jesus. And will we do the same thing in our lives today? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.